Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances, presents. In Hollywood, starring George Jessel with Norma Talmadge, and bringing you the guest appearance of the famous motion picture comedian Polly Moran, and a special Christmas return engagement of Bob Mitchell and the St. Brendan's Choristers. Also, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood.
Well, hello, Jessel, 30 minutes in Hollywood. Ain't he talking? Who? Mr. Jessel? He ain't in yet. No, he just phoned and he ran out of gas right in front of the finance company. Yeah, so I guess he's walking over. As soon as they play Give My Regards to Broadway, you'll know Mr. Jessel here.
Thank you. Say hello. Yes, Mom, this is George. How do you feel? That's good. Did you get my Christmas card? You did? Were you surprised? You were, huh? You didn't expect it? You expected a fur coat.
Oh.
Well, don't you worry, darling. You're getting the fur coat as well. Will you be able to wear it in the rain? Well, of course, certainly. Oh, did you ever see a seal carrying an umbrella? Well, that's crazy. You want to talk to Norma? Well, I'll tell her when she comes in.
Better be nice, better be good, better be just as good as you should. Santa Claus is coming to town.
I'm going to sit right down and write St. Nick a letter. And this is what I'll say to him.
On that happy day, when presents are given away, he just wants one gift. On December 25th,
I want you for Christmas. Anything St. Nick would bring couldn't compare with you.
Only want you for Christmas. You're a pet that money can't get, nothing but you will do.
I just wrote a letter, and if my wish comes true, you can fetch my Jiminy heap from down the chimney with a bag full of you.
He wants you for Christmas, if only Santa does what he does.
I'm knocking on wood for him to make good
riddance. This morning, baby,
I only want you. Jingle bells, ring out from coast to coast. There's really one thing in this world that I want the most. Oh, Christmas bills, I've got quite a few. And I'll pay each one of them if Steve Biscuit comes through. Oh, I want you for Christmas, if only Santa does what he does.
Knocking on wood, seems to make good.
Christmas morning, baby,
I want you for
Waste of time.
Every week at the same time, the publishers of Waste of Time bring you the nuisance of the world. New York, New York, December 20th morning in a tenement. Mrs. Finkelman is drawn by a shrill whistle.
Mama, the janitor's whistling what he wants.
Never mind, I will.
Mrs. Finkelman, Merry Christmas.
Wood, California. Two Americans are waiting in the outer office. One is pacing the floor nervously. The other sits quietly.
Hey, pardon me. Why are you so nervous? I'm waiting as long as you are.
Across the hills of California, products continue being sold. It won't be long before the all retail shops will follow in their footy Watermaseas fruit market.
Good morning, Yoki.
Good morning. What do you like, lady?
Is the head cheese in yet?
No, he gone out to lunch. He'll be back soon. Luscious fruit, that basket, or lush dollar.
Well, how much is the small one?
This basket, the small one, costs $4.
Why, Yoki, how is it that the little one is $4 and the big one is only $2?
Oh, with a $4 basket, I get Hollywood gossip about big movie stars. You like?
With $5 basket, the month's scandal both ends. Oh, yes. I tell you big things about Rita Gabo.
Well, what about the $2 basket?
Oh, small gossip about our gang kids. You know, like.
Say, those are very nice dates you have there.
Oh, watermelons cost $8 a piece, though.
$8 a piece for watermelons?
Sure, watermelons tell gossip about Sophie Tucker. Time, courtesy Blubber Watch Company.
Time, exactly, 3:18 and 1:08.
Los Angeles, California, Mutual Donnelly Broadcasting Studios. George Jessel presents the wonder child of music who, although all around here, are astounded as they hear Joseph.
Joseph,
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 forget to give yourself and family a gift that will be used and appreciated each day throughout the years to come. Give yourself a beautiful Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas range or electric refrigerator, the finest ever built. Your Gaffers and Sattler dealer will be glad to explain how easy it is for you to have one of these modern gas ranges or electric refrigerators on terms to fit your budget. May we again remind you, this Christmas, instead of a lot of little impractical gifts that are so soon forgotten, give yourself and your family a Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas range or electric refrigerator. They will be in daily use and remembered forgotten.
Thank you.
You're listening to George Jessel, 30 Minutes in Hollywood. There being no formula to this program, our office has been cluttered up with mail from people wanting advice over the air, particularly this Sunday. Not about love affairs, not about finance, not about how to get in pictures, but everyone asking one question, which seems to be the vital question of the day. In what part of the house shall we put our Christmas tree? Personally, don't feel qualified to answer this question accurately, but I will bring to the microphone the lady who will try to make those who... that question. I feel she is best qualified to do this because, well, she answered the question that made me happy. Miss Norma Talmadge.
Thank you. In order to give you my advice as to where to put the Christmas tree, let's play a scene that might take place in our own home, George's and mine.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Jessel.
Ah, good evening, Chives. I suppose you're surprised to see me home this time of the day.
Yes, Mr. Jessel, I certainly am.
Well, why don't you say it? It's written in your part there.
Sorry, I blew a line.
Okay. I'll bet Mrs. Jessel will be surprised to see me home this time of the day, since she won't blow a line.
don't make me impertinent, Mr. Jessel, if I remind you that Mrs. Jessel and I are not getting the same wages.
Oh, yes.
And also, if you don't mind, I'd like to get paid.
When did I pay you last, Jive?
Let me see. When you were with Gus Edwards, sir.
Oh, yes. Nevertheless, Chives, take this big Christmas tree and don't tell Mrs. I'm home because I want a surprise. I tell you what you do. Just say there's a gentleman in the parlor and she'll never suspect it's me. Now, go ahead.
Give me a home with a buffalo roam and the elk and the canter-kid slay.
Why, George, you frightened the life out of me. What are you doing home at this hour of the day? How is it that you're not at your office writing songs, getting next week's program together, betting on the races, writing a newspaper column, cheating MGM, producing plays, making phonograph records, and your various other lines?
Never mind that, honey. I'm home, and that's all that matters. Now, look, where shall I put the Christmas tree, dear?
Well, that's a lovely thought, George, and I don't care where you put it.
Okay, right here in the living room?
Don't you dare put the tree in the living room. I've just had it done over there, the famous interior decorator.
Okay, what about the dining room?
I should say not, dear. We're having our Christmas dinner in there. And I have those new drapes that D'Albert put in there only yesterday.
All right. Well, couldn't we dine in the kitchen sometime, honey?
Don't you think I spend enough time in the kitchen with that new cook D'Albert recommended without sitting there, too?
You can put the tree in one of the guest bedrooms.
You would think of that with my sister Constance here for Christmas in one room and D'Albert in the other.
Again, D'Albert is in the other, huh?
Where do you expect him to sleep in the tree?
Well, I bet he could. He ought to sleep in the tree. His decorating costs plenty of coconuts, believe me.
I know. Why not put the tree in your bedroom?
Oh, sure. And where am I going to sleep?
You can sleep with one of those sick friends you sit up with every other night.
Is that so? Well, I got an idea. Why don't you have D'Albert build an extra little house so we can put the tree in it and be out of the way with him altogether, eh?
A special house for the tree? Do you realize what that would cost?
Honey, who cares what it costs? In a few minutes, this will be last week's program. What do we care?
Why, honey, D'Albert...
Again with that D'Albert.
Why, he couldn't design anything new in such a short time. That row of shirts were too small for him.
Oh, I was just wondering how he'd look with this tree stuck in his ear. How do you like that?
Now, George, don't start picking on Monsieur D'Albert. He has the soul of an artist.
Yeah, and the appetite of an old friend.
Don't you talk about old friends. You've had so many of your old friends at this house, you could cut the dialect with a knife.
Is that so? Now, look, honey, let's not argue about anything. I came home early because I was lonesome for you. I've been out shopping all morning, picking out things for you. And even though it isn't Christmas yet, look what I brought you today. A 10-pound box of your favorite candy and a dozen lovely orchids. I rushed home, sweetheart, to tell you that you're looking lovelier than ever. And I want you to give me one big hug and a big kiss like the day when we were married.
Oh!
Well, honey, what's the matter? What's wrong?
What a day I've had. The cook left, the telephone doesn't work, the car broke down, and now you come home drunk.
Some weeks ago, we were fortunate in having with us the famous St. Brendan's Choristers from the church of the same name, a group of boys ranging in age from 8 to 14 years. Because of the reaction of you listeners, we are happy to present them again, saluting the coming of the Yuletide, their voices blend to the inspiring Holy Night.
Silent night, holy night, holy night.
and gentlemen, not so long ago, there was in our midst two women who, it seems, were put on this earth to create laughter. Though each one of these women were stars in their own right for years, it wasn't until they were teamed for motion pictures that the world acclaimed them as the two greatest women laugh makers of this generation. One day, the mightiest of all directors saw fit to call one of them to join the greatest cast of all. I refer to the beloved Marie Dressler. The other half of the team has been spared to us, and I'm happy to present her now, Miss Polly Moran.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Georgette.
Georgette? Say, Pollock, listen. You've been away a long time now, haven't you, dear?
Yes, George. I've been in London, Australia, making personal appearances. Oh, but I'm glad to be back in Hollywood. Hollywood is my town, believe me. If anybody offered me $10,000 to leave it again, do you think I would?
Would you?
Sure, I gotta eat.
Oh. Tell me about the trip over. Was it nice?
Oh, it was wonderful, George. I went over on the Queen Mary. Now, there's a canoe for you. The first night out, I went for a walk on the promenade deck and wandered around for about an hour before I realized I was walking in one of the lifeboats.
Polly, I want to tell you something. It's a swell feeling to have you with us on this show, and it's an honor for me to be standing at this mic with you. Really, you, who have in your time entertained such great people as General Grant, Stonewall Jackson, and Tonka.
Is that so? Well, I don't see you around in the morning, dressed up in rompers, chasing a hoop either. But seriously, George, I'm as thrilled as you are, because I can close my eyes and remember my mother taking me to see you, playing your first great part. I'll never forget it. May Robson played your little daughter. And Wilton Lackey was your...
All right, that's enough with that. Listen, no kidding, Polly. I'm glad you're back. And I'm sure that the fans are, too. The fans that you've had ever since you first appeared in the old silent pictures as Sheriff Nell's, you always get the man. I got an idea, Polly. Let's see if we can't bring back one of those old scenarios. Of course, we'll have to put some words in it. Okay, we'll fade in on a dance hall. Sheriff Nell in Rubber Nose Ghost.
Hello, Sheriff Nell.
Why, howdy, partner. What's up?
Well, just want to tack this reward sign up on the office, Sheriff. He's an escaped Russian cowboy.
Now, let me see. What does it say? 10,000 rubles reward will be paid on the 5-year plan for the captain of whatever that thing is. He's a handsome toss, ain't he, Marshal?
Yeah. Keep your eyes open, Sheriff. He's pretty slippery.
Don't worry, Marshal. Sheriff Nell always got her men.
Whoa, somebody.
Here comes a stranger, boys. And it might be that odd varmint. I'm sorry, stranger. Well, I thought on account of his name being Serge, why, you know how...
Let's go right to the next one.
Boys, get behind those bar potato barrels and keep them covered.
Are you kin? They can't find Robinson's passport. Are you kin?
Good morning, missus.
What you want, mister?
Pardon, I'm looking for the sheriff.
You're a stranger in this part, aren't you?
I'm asking, is the sheriff here?
I'm the sheriff, stranger.
You the sheriff? You a woman?
Yes, a woman. I may be one of the weaker sex to you, but I care the difference around on my hip. So don't try none of your funny stuff or I'll bite your ear off.
Mr. Sheriff, allow me to introduce yourself to me. My name is Serge Tryhatsky to get money of it, Stavarich.
Well, how do you spell it?
I don't spell it, but if you got saxophone, I play it for you.
What, are you a musician?
No, Sheriff, I am Russian.
Russian? Say, I know a little Russian.
You do?
Yes, he's a midget.
A special passion is a parusko. That means in my country, half a joke is better than none.
Well, what are you doing around here, stranger?
I came to ask you for a glass tea with lemon.
Well, I might put you up in the jail.
The jail, eh? Well, I suppose it would be all right in a pinch. Sheriff, that should happen to me. I, who am nobleman, I made strudel for the Tsar.
You a nobleman? A general? A prince?
Oh, sure. Everybody who left Russia has now got a title, of course.
I can't help that, stranger. I'm the sheriff here, and I've got to do my duty as I see it. Now, where have I seen your face before?
Same place like you see it now, but I'm always wearing it. What are you asking, Sheriff?
Well, you don't look kosher to me.
Oh.
So I'm going to put this shooting iron on you while I ask questions. Now, where are you from?
New York.
You couldn't get such a dialect in New York. I thought you said you were Russian.
I am. I was born in New York to save the fare over.
What did you do in New York?
Out of New York, I was doorman. Till revolution came, then I lose job.
Revolution in New York?
Yeah, the boss put in revolving door.
Oh. What are you aiming to do here, stranger?
I want to get job.
Well, if you can prove to me you're okay, I might help you. You understand horses and cattle?
No, just Russian, that's all.
What did you do in Russia?
I was cowboy.
You were a cowboy in Russia?
Sure, musk cowboy, sure. Why, Jimmy, welcome to Texaco Town.
That's a good one, Stooge. Stooge. You must cow up and see me sometime. I just made that up. I guess that's why I'm only on the air once a year.
Tell me. Why? Tell me, Sheriff, have you got husband? You are married?
Married? I should say not. I've got a dog that growls, a parrot that swears, a lamp that smokes, and a cat that stays out all night. What do I want with a husband?
But it is a shame that such beautiful women like you have not got husbands.
Oh, do you really think so? You know, stranger, I do get awful lonesome at times.
Me too. I get lonesome for the scenes of my childhood. Take me back to my team, little lemon. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Do you understand me, my little bublichki?
Smile when you say that, stranger.
I can tell that you are touched. Tell me, why do you cry?
Oh, Georgie.
What?
I was just thinking of the days when we made those Sheriff Nell pictures. People seemed to be happier in Hollywood then. We didn't get as much money as we do today, but whatever we got was ours. We didn't have to go 80-20 with the agents and Uncle Sam. And, Georgie, we took our time making the pictures.
That's right, Polly. There weren't so many quickies then, were there, huh?
No, sir. I was out at the studio the other day on a set. They were working 2 days and were just finishing the picture, and the producer ran in and said, "Hurry up and finish this last reel. The first reel is all ready." Take me back when we just make faces. Oh, let me just be Sheriff Neil and let the talkies go to television. Oh, give me the time.
Polly Moran. This Christmas, when making up your gift list, remember those people who are without proper heating facilities for their homes. There may be friends and relatives who would suffer from inadequate heating at the first touch of cold weather. Think of the real cheer and warmth you would give by presenting them with the Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater. These convenient and attractive heaters make practical gifts and may be purchased in a range of prices surprisingly low. If this year you give Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heaters as Christmas gifts, your family and friends will radiate with warm appreciation.
30 minutes in Hollywood, only a couple minutes left. This is Amy talking. You want to talk to who? Miss Talmadge? Well, you ain't reading from the same script that I got. Are you sure you want to talk to Miss Talmadge? Well, flatten my uncle. Miss Talmadge! Hello, this is Miss Talmadge. Oh, George's mother. How are you, dear? You want to tell me that the neighbors are surprised about me? Why? Because I'm so plain? You say you're glad of that? Why? Because a friend of yours was so stuck on himself he got killed? How did that happen? He was a window washer, and one day on the 40th floor of a building, he stepped back to admire his work. I see. You say you went to a lecture last night, but you didn't enjoy it. Why do you go to those lectures if you don't enjoy them? Oh, you like to watch the faces of the other people who don't enjoy them either. Just a minute, dear. Hold the phone, I'll get George.
Hello, Mom? Yes, I'm glad you called. I'm kind of sorry you asked for Norma, though. Oh, nothing. It just tips off how easy it is to get laughs with this stuff, that's all. You what? You want new pictures of us and the whole company? Well, honey, they'll all be in the radio guide on December 24th. Tommy and Norma and Amy, 2 pages of pictures on December 24th, yeah. You want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas? Including the landlord. Well, that's a nice spirit, yeah. I should do what? As long as I'm on the Pacific Coast, I should drop a Christmas card in the Pacific Ocean. And you'll do the same thing in New York and the Atlantic? Well, that's silly, Mama. What's the idea of that? Oh, you want to send a greeting to the 2 best friends America has got, the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. I get it. Just a minute. Wait a minute. Say goodbye to Mother now.
Goodbye, dear, and Merry Christmas.
That goes for me, Mama, and to you too, ladies and gentlemen.
George Jessel's 30 Minutes in Hollywood has brought you Miss Norma Talmadge and the guest appearance of Miss Polly Moran, with Bob Mitchell and the St. Brendan's Choristers, who are currently appearing in Paramount's production, College Swing. The regular cast included Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Ornell and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Next week, George Jessel will present Grisha Golubov, sensational 14-year-old violinist who will play his $150,000 Stradivarius, which was presented to him by Henry Ford. Join us then in George Jessel's office. The doors will be open at 3 p.m.
This program came to you through the facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is a Mutual Broadcasting System.
People who don't enjoy them either. Just a minute, dear. Hold the phone, I'll get George.
Hello, Mom? Yes, I'm glad you called. I'm kind of sorry you asked for Norma, though. Oh, nothing. It just tips off how easy it is to get laughs with this stuff, that's all. You what? You want new pictures of us and the whole company? Well, honey, they'll all be in the radio guide on December 24th. Tommy and Norma and Amy, 2 pages of pictures on December 24th, yeah. You want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas? Including the landlord. Well, that's a nice spirit, yeah. I should do what? As long as I'm on the Pacific Coast, I should drop a Christmas card in the Pacific Ocean. And you'll do the same thing in New York and the Atlantic? Well, that's silly, Mama. What's the idea of that? Oh, you want to send a greeting to the 2 best friends America has got, the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean. I get it. Just a minute. Wait a minute. Say goodbye to Mother now.
Goodbye, dear, and Merry Christmas.
That goes for me, Mama, and to you too, ladies and gentlemen.
George Jessel's 30 Minutes in Hollywood has brought you Miss Norma Talmadge and the guest appearance of Miss Polly Moran, with Bob Mitchell and the St. Brendan's Choristers, who are currently appearing in Paramount's production, College Swing. The regular cast included Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Ornell and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Next week, George Jessel will present Grisha Golubov, sensational 14-year-old violinist who will play his $150,000 Stradivarius, which was presented to him by Henry Ford. Join us then in George Jessel's office. The doors will be open at 3 p.m.
This program came to you through the facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is a Mutual Broadcasting System.